Have you ever wondered why, with so many time-saving and labour-saving devices, we're busier than ever? We live in the instant generation. We get impatient with the microwave, run up escalators, and rage of one kind or another is becoming common. In our consumer obsession with things and stuff, the reality is that people take second place, and relationships that God intended to be the spice of life fracture and break. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Being made in His image, relationships are important to God too. And He's jealous of His relationship with us, with you and with me. And true to His loving nature, God has created a place in time, as someone called it, a place in time every week to build and maintain relationships. God is love. Therefore, He's given us the Sabbath to connect with Him. So please join us as we explore what God has to say about His weekly Sabbath. Peter, where did the Sabbath originate?
Right at the beginning. If we look at the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, obviously chapter 1, you have God creating the world, creating the plant life, the animals, all for His crowning creation, which was humankind. He creates man and woman and places them in that garden. But then we find something else. He adds to that creation something that at first glance might seem unnecessary. It seems like it's all complete. Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." So it's finished. And then verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now, God rested from His work of creation. Why? Because He was tired? Hardly. God doesn't get tired. Why did He rest on that day? He wanted to spend time with His new creatures, human beings. Yeah. And we've discovered that, you know, relationships, you mentioned that in your introduction, relationships are built on time and communication. And God set aside this day at the end of His creation week so He could spend time with His creatures, communicate with them, and build a loving relationship with them.
Brian, can you tell us a little bit about the form of creation there that in Genesis 2, those words that are used are fairly significant, aren't they?
They are, Jeff. They're very significant. There are, in fact, four words here. They're all verbs, and they tell us about the Sabbath in a very critical way. God finished His work. That's the first verb. And then it says in verse 2 that He rested. The Hebrew word for rested is the same root as the word for Sabbath. So we might even say that God Sabbathed the seventh day.
That's interesting.
He made it into a Sabbath. The second word is that He blessed it. We usually think of blessing as meaning consecrating and dedicating, but there's more to it in the original word. Again, the Hebrew helps us to understand. It's a very rich word. It's used 300 times or more in the Old Testament, and it's translated in 16 different ways. Some of the other translations help us to understand its real meaning. It's sometimes translated as to kneel, to praise, to thank, to salute. The word has a strong connotation of worship. So already in the words rested and blessed, we have a strong foundation for the root idea of the Sabbath. It's connected with rest and with worship. And then the third word, it says God sanctified. And I think, as you yourself pointed out in the feature, this means to set apart. This is what God did with the seventh day. He rested on it, He blessed it, and then He set it apart. He did this to no other day in the week. And He did all this right there, as Peter says, at creation.
I mean, when I often hear Christians pray, and I'm sure we've all prayed like this ourselves. It's a good prayer. You know, we ask for God to bless us. And here, what you're saying, Brian, is that the blessing of God is actually in the Sabbath.
Yeah. How about that?
Yes.
which is a wonderful thought, really, isn't it? As we keep the Sabbath, we are gaining that special blessing that there is.
That's right. It was a day that was blessed, and it was set apart because it was blessed.
Yeah.
Set apart, not for God's use,
no,
but for man's use,
yeah,
for man's benefit.
It didn't just start at Sinai. You know, it wasn't just something that was issued with the Ten Commandments that was this new idea. And the patriarchs of old obviously kept it. Come with us. Genesis 26, verse 5. God's talking to Abraham, and he says, Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws. So that was before.
Yes, because so many people think that the Ten Commandments that were given at Mount Sinai was the first time that those commandments were given, and therefore the Sabbath and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're pointing out, Sandra, is the fact that the Sabbath was known long, long before Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And Abraham, what was it, kept
my commandments.
Yes.
Job, Noah, these gentlemen also were referred to by God as righteous, blameless, ones who shunned evil. You know, it's obvious that there was right and wrong, that there was a commandment in place before Sinai.
Maybe we should go to the Ten Commandments, which is where it's sort of spelt out there, which is in Exodus chapter 20. And it tells us several things there. Obviously, Brian has talked about God resting, blessing, sanctifying the day. And as we mentioned, for the purpose of building a relationship with us, you know, initially there, and for maintaining those relationships. But here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 through 11, you find the Sabbath commandment. This is where the Ten Commandments are spelt out in Exodus 20. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." This was a day set apart, as Brian was mentioning, set apart for a holy purpose, a day on which we could meet with God. And then it says, it goes on to say, 6 days you shall labour and you should give your servants and your animals rest on that day if they're working for you. And in verse 11, it actually tells us the why, I guess. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that it is in them." And so it tells us that we to remember the Sabbath because it's a memorial of God's creative work.
The preamble to these Ten Commandments in the second verse of this chapter says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage."
Mm.
The Ten Commandments were given in the context of deliverance, of salvation. God had rescued his people who had been in Israel for more than 200, in Egypt for more than 200 years. I think it's helpful to remember that the Ten Commandments are given in a context of grace and of God's loving care for his people.
Now, isn't that the very opposite of what most people think? Because they think that keeping the commandments is legalism.
Mm.
You know, the very opposite to grace.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a very significant point, I think, Brian.
Yeah, and I think it does, as Peter said, it takes us right back to creation, the fourth commandment.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically stated there in verse 11 that they were to keep the Sabbath day, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh day.
Mm.
The significance of the Sabbath is in rest.
Wow.
In freedom from everyday responsibilities, in being able to relax and to rest, and how necessary that is in today's world.
Mm.
And in the Sabbath commandment, you see his name, that he's the Lord God, you know, that he's his title, that he's the creator, and his territory, heaven and earth, you know, is what he created. So it's tremendously significant.
That's a good point, Sandra, because if you were to take that out of the Ten Commandments, that is, if you took the Sabbath commandment out of the Ten Commandments, they could be the commandments of just Joe Blow.
Yeah, really.
Because it doesn't tell you who God is except in the fourth commandment.
The heart of that commandment.
Which is an interesting point, isn't it?
It is. Ironically, one of the claims in regard to Sabbath is, well, we shouldn't be legalistic about it, and it's part of a religion of works. And yet, of course, the very fact that it talks about rest, and you talked about the freedom, it's for freedom from a religion of works, whereby we cannot save ourselves. We are reliant upon God to provide for us, and the Sabbath is also a symbol of that.
Brian, another question that often comes up is, the Sabbath is Jewish. What would you say to that?
Well, I think we've really already answered that, Jeff, mm-hmm. because the Sabbath was made at creation hundreds of years before there was a Jew.
Yeah.
The Jews came from Abraham. He was the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham doesn't appear on the scene of history until hundreds of years after the Sabbath had been created. Mm-hmm. And I think also we can remember the words of Jesus in this respect. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man.
Yes.
And the word he uses there is the Greek word anthropos, which means mankind or the human race. Mm-hmm. It wasn't made for one sector of humanity. It was made for all humans, mm. right back there at creation.
Well, but it's true that the Jews kept the Sabbath, though, isn't
sure.
it?
Yes. Mm. Oh, of course.
And I guess if we're going to do away with something because the Jews touched it, we'll have to do away with even the Bible because
yeah.
probably every Bible writer was a Jew, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
We'll have to do away with even Jesus because he was a Jew.
Look out.
Yes.
Don't mess
so
with Jesus.
So we mustn't go down that path.
No.
Otherwise, we'll do away with everything.
Maybe one of the things that people get confused on is
yes.
because we find in the Old Testament, in the Law of Moses, for instance, there were a lot of festival Sabbaths. That the Jews had in their culture and as part of their society that Christians don't keep today. And they're recorded in Leviticus 23, for instance. You see a lot of them like the Passover, the Day of Atonement, Pentecost, these kind of festivals that pointed forward to the work of the Messiah, the work of Christ, some part of his redemptive work. These festivals were like national holidays, if you like, that pointed forward to that. But they were separate too. The weekly Sabbath that we've just read about in the Ten Commandments, they weren't the same thing. They were national holidays that occurred on different days of the week through the year. For instance, like your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Your birthday is on a particular date of the year. These festival Sabbaths were on a particular date of the year. And so that day of the week could be Wednesday this week and Thursday next year or whatever and so forth. Whereas the weekly Sabbath cycle, the seventh day Sabbath, was part of the Ten Commandments. It didn't point forward to some work the Messiah would do. It was back there at creation. It pointed backwards to what God had done in creation and was before even there was sin in the world.
Right. I just want to ask you too, when it comes to religious things, I guess the supreme authority is Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
How did Jesus relate to the Sabbath?
Well, I think that's a critical question, Jeff, and there are a number of texts in the Bible that we could read, but since we've just been talking about the Ten Commandments, maybe we can start by saying that Jesus referred to this law of the Ten Commandments in Matthew chapter 5, and he said that until heaven and earth passed away, this law would remain in existence. In other words, it was not going to be annulled, it was not going to be discontinued, but it was going to remain in force as a set of guidelines for human living and behaviour and relationships until the very end of time. As I read that whole passage in the Sermon on the Mount, it tells me that Jesus had a very high regard for the Ten Commandments, and that would have included the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That we could refer to Luke chapter 4, verse 16, where it says that Jesus, as his custom was, kept the Sabbath day.
Well, his habit, is it? The word custom means habit?
Mm. Yeah, something that he did
regularly
on a weekly basis.
Mm. Mm.
Would you like me to read that out? I have that just here.
Yes, yes.
In Luke 4:16, it says, "So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up." This was his childhood home. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So this was something Jesus was accustomed to doing. And if people will, you know, say, well, he was Jewish, of course he's going to do that. But you see, people who are Christians, they follow Christ, and Christ was a Sabbath keeper, and he was somebody who upheld the Sabbath throughout his life.
Is there any example of any apostle keeping any other day but the Sabbath?
I've never found one. Never found anything that would allude to them changing it or worshipping on a different day for any other reason. I think that John, the last we see of him, he's on the island of Patmos. Come over to Revelation 1:10. It's the last book of the Bible, and it's the last time we hear about where he is and what he's up to. Revelation 1:10, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And then he goes and, you know, gets this vision of what he writes here. So here again, it's like as if God chose the Sabbath to be able to give that revelation to him. What a special thing. He was still keeping it.
Peter, I wasn't always brought up to be a Sabbath keeper. I was always taught that the Lord's Day was Sunday.
Mm. That's what I would have expected through, you know, growing up in England as a relatively secular person. But, when you referred to the Lord's Day, it was an instant, yes, by tradition we understand that to be, Sunday.
Yeah.
However, when in the context that you're talking about, if you're looking purely from a biblical point of view, you'd have to ask yourself, which day is the Lord's Day? You know, we've talked about the Ten Commandments being the Sabbath being the Lord's holy day.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath. We could talk about Isaiah 58, where it talks about my holy day, the Sabbath. And so from a biblical point of view, the Lord's day is the Sabbath day.
I think it's worth going back to the record of Jesus' crucifixion.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 23, at the end of that chapter, it refers to the fact that Jesus was crucified on what they called the preparation day, which was the day before the Sabbath.
Yes.
And it says in the very last verse of that chapter that the women who had anointed the body of Jesus, it says they returned or were to anoint the body of Jesus after his crucifixion. It says they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. That was for the anointing of his body. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now, this is the first instance in the New Testament of the Sabbath being observed after the crucifixion of Jesus.
Mm.
And it tells me that those who were close to Jesus, who had been among his closest group of followers, knew nothing of any change of the day. They had been with Jesus through his ministry. They would have heard him teach. They would have seen the miracles he performed. And nothing that he ever said had communicated to them that the day was going to be changed.
Yeah.
It was business as usual.
Mm.
The Sabbath was being kept.
I think that's a very good point, Brian. Mm. And this text also gives us, because often people will say, and I'm sure we've all heard it, how do you know the days of the week haven't all been mixed up?
Mm-hmm.
And here it seems to me that there's pretty strong evidence that the days haven't been mixed up.
Mm.
Well, we know the day that Jesus was crucified on was Friday.
Good
and,
Friday.
Around the world universally, everyone calls that Good Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's no question about that.
Yeah. And the day of the resurrection, which is mentioned in Luke 24, verse 1, it says early in the morning of the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the grave. We know that to be Sunday, it's referred to around the globe as Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
It's the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. And so, obviously, you have Crucifixion Friday, you have Sunday on which he rose from the dead, and the day between that day, those days, was the Sabbath.
And of course, according to the commandment, as Brian is reminding us.
It can only be the Sabbath, which is Saturday.
Yeah. Brian, I want to ask you too, because you've done a lot of study in libraries around the world on this question of the Sabbath down through the years. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have found?
Oh, how much time have I got?
I know it's a big subject.
Well, there is a tremendous amount of evidence all around the world that the Sabbath has never been lost, actually. My own study has been related to the rediscovery of the Sabbath in England in the 16th and 17th centuries, and in the course of that study I found material going back to the late 13th century. I remember feeling absolutely amazed when I was working one day in the British Library in London and coming across a 13th century manuscript which actually referred to the fact that the Sabbath was being kept, and it was a point of discussion way back there. And there's documentary evidence from that time on that the Sabbath has been kept by various of disciples of Jesus in England and in other parts of the world.
Because, in our series, we've been talking about the great war that's been going on, the great controversy, this epic fight between Christ and Satan. And it seems to me that right back in the beginning, as we were saying, that God set aside a day, his special day, to meet us. But the devil has come along because he doesn't want us to have any relationship with God. So he's tried to get rid of that.
Tried to obscure it
yes.
in one way or another. Yeah. I was just thinking about what you were saying, Brian, about the Sabbath being kept through history by various different peoples. We can even go to the Bible and look at the early church. And there are several examples in the book of Acts, for instance, where the Sabbath was being kept. I think particularly here, if Acts 13, verse 42, it says this was when the disciples had come to Antioch. And it says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles... That's the non-Jews. This is people who were not part of that Old Testament faith. It says, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You drop down to verse 44, it says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. This is happening on a Sabbath. It's the whole city coming together. The apostles and the disciples are spreading the word of God. They're coming together on the Sabbath day to hear the word of God. It's the whole city. It's not just the Jews. It's not just those who have an Old Testament background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This date is special to God. You know, and if we care about him and our relationship with him, we're going to want to try and remember that date and connect with him. And just because we love him, you know, that's just going to be an automatic reaction.
As you look back to creation, God set aside a day mm-hmm. for us, and the devil has come along and said, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But God said it does matter, because that's the day I want to meet you. And as you pointed out, Peter, earlier on, it's an it's a reminder of creation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that was important to me. I mean, I was raised believing in evolution. I believed in evolution right up to my, you know, into my early 20s. I wasn't raised in a faith tradition. God placing that reminder there, I mean, it symbolises so many other things also, but certainly one of the key features of the Sabbath is a reminder of his creative acts, the fact that God is powerful enough to create not only this world but the whole universe, but perhaps more importantly from a salvation point of view and from a personal point of view, he can create a new heart in me. And he can create a new heart in each of us. The Bible also talks about, you know, if any person is in Christ, they become a new creature, and he's able to do that. And we only believe that that's possible because we believe that he created in the first place, and that Sabbath is a memorial of that creative act.
And part of that new creation, Jeff, is in what the Bible refers to as a covenant experience. Mm-hmm. It talks about covenants in many places, but in one particular place, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 31, he's talking about the new covenant, and he says of that experience, and this is related directly to what Peter has just been saying, that God will write his law upon the heart.
Yes. Mm.
In the old covenant, it had been externalised, but under this covenant, this agreement that God makes with his children, he writes the law on the human heart.
Yes.
It becomes internalised.
Mm. Yes.
And when it becomes internalised, it gives the desire and the will to live in harmony with God's will. And that applies to the Sabbath as much as it does to any of the other commandments of the law.
And if we look at the law of God, we recognise that God puts them there in place for our benefit.
Yeah.
He's not trying to oppress us. He's not trying to constrict us. And of all of the commandments, the Sabbath, we should be able to see the benefit. I mean, you talked about the busyness of our lives and how we need that time to take a rest from our labours and to connect in a really meaningful ways with our Lord, with our God, with the important relationships in our lives. And so when God set out any of those laws, they were for mankind's benefit.
Well, I can never understand how a day spent with Jesus can be spelt with the words legalism. That seems to be spelling grace to me.
Yeah. Mm.
If I can have it one day every week to get to know Jesus, that seems to be...
Yeah.
One of grace, isn't that right?
Bargain, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, in this great epic story that God has told us about in the Bible, this epic story, this battle that's going on between Christ and Satan, God gave us a day of rest, a day where we can spend time with him, a day that he especially blessed and a day that he sanctified, he set aside for a holy use. And in the heart of those Ten Commandments, Jesus said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And the devil has come along and tried to make us forget the very thing that Jesus said, remember. And then we noticed, as we read on in the New Testament, that Jesus lived it. He taught it. And then the holy apostles and the holy women that came to his tomb, they had noticed the way he had taught them, and they observed the Sabbath even after the resurrection. And then we notice that the Sabbath hasn't been lost down through history. Rather, even in 13th century, 14th century, 15th century, 16th century, in fact, every century, there have been those who have been faithful to Jesus in keeping his commandments. And it reminds me of that wonderful verse over there in the book of Matthew that I'm sure most of us, even if we can't say it by heart, we've heard it many times. Let me just read you Matthew chapter 11. And verse 28, listen to the appeal of Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's why Jesus has given to us the Sabbath, so that we can have one day every week to spend time getting to know him, to read his word, to help those around about us, to spend time with our families so that our relationship with God and our relationship with one another can be supported and buttressed. And dear viewer, I want to appeal to you to look into this matter, because I believe the Sabbath is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I haven't always been brought up to believe this, but since I've found the Sabbath, I know that I'm blessed every day that I keep it, and I have a yearning and a desire that you find that same blessing too. Let's just pray together. Our Father in heaven, I just thank you again today as we have opened your word and we have studied about a very big, important subject, a subject that may be somewhat new to some of our viewers. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be like the Bereans of old, where the Bible says when they discovered new things, they looked into the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so I pray that you'll bless us, that you will help us as we learn more of you and from you day by day, that your Holy Spirit will continue to be our teacher, and as we continue to study, that right through until Jesus comes and finally we may be saved together on that wonderful, wonderful day, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.